Take your Bible and turn to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 10. I'm going to be looking at the last verse that I use usually before I pray with somebody after receiving Christ. I go through that plan of salvation, start there at Romans 3:10, where the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then I tell folks, because we're a mess, there's a penalty for our sin that God requires. Well, I go to Romans 6:23, and the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. That's what we earn because of our sin. But the last half of that verse says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. It isn't something you earn. If you could earn it, it wouldn't be a gift anymore. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It says again, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you could earn your way to heaven, you could brag about it. You could boast about it, but that's not how it works. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then we go over to Romans 5:8, where the Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us. That means it's in our direction. It's available to us. He commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners. My, that's what turned the light on for me and opened the door for me, because that verse says that God accepted me for salvation just exactly like I was. I thought, well, I probably had to turn over a new leaf, or I had to do something and get right before I could get saved. But that verse said, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He accepts you for salvation just exactly like you are. My, what a news flash. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know that you're accepted in God just exactly like you are? Now, once you trust Christ, once you do that, then he moves in and he makes some changes with you. The Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, neither can he know them. In fact, they're foolishness to him because they're spiritually discerned. So that first step is getting saved, trusting Christ. Your life's not going to change in the right way until you trust Jesus Christ. All the efforts you make in the flesh are nothing but that prodigal son trying to clean up the hog pen. It don't do any good. But when you trust Christ, life starts anew for you. You've got the old nature still to deal with, but you've got a new nature that helps you deal with the old. And what a wonderful thing. Then we go over to Romans 10, chapter I'm in, verse 10, 9 and 10. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I point out that that verse says you shalt be saved. Don't say you might be. The Bible says God cannot lie. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. He don't change his mind about it. Hath he said, and shall he not make it good? Or hath he spoken, and shall it not come to pass? So you've got God's word on it. In fact, the Bible says God is faithful and cannot deny himself. He has to do what he says he will do. When he says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He's not kidding. It's a done deal, because he will do his part. What the government calls a quid pro quo. You do this, I'll do that. And his part is a God that cannot lie. The Bible says it is impossible for God to lie. My. After that, I asked the fellow, I said, well, you understand you're a sinner? He or she says, yep, I know I'm a mess. I know I'm a sinner. I said, do you believe Jesus Christ is who he said he was? Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? I said, well, yeah, I believe that. I said, do you believe that he died for your sins according to the Scripture and was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, like at Easter time? You believe that? And I said, oh, yeah, I believe that. My. He just did what the Bible said to do if he meant it from the heart. I can't tell if it's from the heart or from the teeth out. I don't have that. But the Bible says the Word of God is able to discern the very thoughts and intents of the heart. If that fellow's serious about it, God won't refuse him. In fact, he says, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He won't refuse you. Why would he refuse you after what he did to secure your salvation? He paid an awful price on his part so that you might come to him. And he makes it easy for you. All you have to do is believe. All you have to do is believe it from the heart and embrace what he did for you. You have to, the Bible says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You receive him by believing. It says, even to them that believe on his name. Qualifies itself right there in that same verse in John. So what a wonderful, marvelous salvation. The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Paul said, I fear lest any corrupt you from the simplicity that is in Christ. Wow. Then I'll take him down to the verse I'm at here in my study tonight in Romans 10 and verse 13. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's that word again, shall be saved. Don't say you might be. You call on the name of the Lord from a repentant heart, why would he refuse you? He promises that he will accept you. My. Notice that it says, whosoever shall. Now, that's not just some elect group from the foundation of the world, even though God purposed it from the foundation of the world. Those who are in that church, those who are in the elect, are chosen in time. Not from before the foundation of the world. They're chosen in time. Well, my. That's you, and that's me, and that's also whosoever will beside you and me. That's Vincent, who today became one of the whosoever wills. At Revelation 22:17 says, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. Those who go to heaven are the whosoever wills. Those who go to hell are the whosoever won't. They rejected it. They've turned it down. Hey, it is dealer's choice. You have a right to go to hell if you want to. It's dealer's choice. You can go either place you want to, but it's all from your heart. It's all your decision. Those who go to heaven, the whosoever wills. Those who go to hell are the whosoever wants. Now from verse 14 down in Romans 10, down to verse 18, is a great missionary call to the Gentiles. Romans 10:14, it says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Notice that? On whom they have not believed. Over 60 times the Bible, 60 verses, the Bible says, believe. Believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For I say, Lord, who hath believed our report? There it is again. So then it says in verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? And yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Verse 14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Now that just said that they have to believe before they call on him. Did you notice the order there? You've got to believe on him before you call on him. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Don't do any good to call on the Lord if you don't believe it. You're wasting your time. So that verse shows that the calling on him comes after you believe on him. Does that make sense? And one place it says that he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Remember that over in Hebrews? He that cometh to God must believe that he is. And that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It says you have to believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. It can't be just an intellectual assent to the fact that Jesus is who he said he was. But from the heart, you embrace him. You appropriate him for yourself. So the belief comes before the calling on him. Now that makes sense to me. Then in verse 14 it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? If you never heard of him, you're not going to believe on him. Wow. You can believe, you can't believe it until you hear it, until you know about it. The church has been deficient in our letting folks know about it. You got to let folks know about it. You know, we had a group, Gold City. They were here a few weeks ago, a big nationally named Southern Gospel group. known all over the world. I didn't know we were going to get them here. They were passing through and said they just needed a place to sing that night and ask if we'd advertise for them. So we did a little bit of radio advertisement. We put it on the Facebook page. We did a newspaper ad, and the newspaper threw in a story with it. And we were packed out that night. And it reminded me, but if nobody had known about it, there wouldn't have been anyone here. If no one had known about it. The old bluegrass singer, Jimmy Martin, they called him the King of Bluegrass. He told me one time, I'm sitting in his bus, just me and him, and we were playing a place, and there wasn't a lot of people, and he said, well, they didn't promote it. He said, you can't sneak into town and put on a show and expect anybody to be there. Hey, you can't sneak into town and present the gospel and expect anybody to get saved. You got to tell them about it. That's why we have our ministries. That's why we have Reformers Unanimous. That's why we have the bus ministries. That's why we have this ministry and that ministry. So folks can know about it. Can hear about it. You can't believe it until you hear it. And when you hear, that's where faith comes. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. My, my, my. Now, I'm just going to take a wild guess that the devil's working on that hearing program because everything is imagery anymore. See the kids there with their working those telephones and those computers and those tablets, whatever they're called, iPads. Faith cometh by hearing. Don't come by seeing. I don't know, just a little thought. Maybe the devil's kind of working on that a little bit. Say, preacher, that's pretty good jump, pretty good stretch. Well, probably is. But... all right, let me move on. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. All right, then, when you get faith by hearing the Word of God, it's then in belief through that faith that you call on Him. Wow. You heard about, you heard about Jesus Christ. Those multitudes that came to where He was, they heard about the miracles. They heard about this and that of this fellow named Jesus. And man, they were putting some faith in the credibility of some of those witnesses that they heard, and they went to see Him. So you get faith by hearing the Word of God, and then it's in belief through faith that you call on Him. The Bible says repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God. That's a man coming to himself. You've heard on the TV shows, as I said, they had a come to Jesus moment. Well, that prodigal son had a come to Jesus moment. He came to himself. The Bible says that prodigal son, he had wasted his inheritance. He had wasted his inheritance on riotous living. And said he was down to nothing, living in a hog pen. Living with the hogs. And then the Bible says, when he came to himself, he got up and he went back to his father. Wow. That's pretty wild. And that's that repentance. But it has to be toward God. Judas repented himself, went out and hung himself. He's sorry he got caught. It isn't being sorry you got caught. It's sorry that for who you are. Not only what you did, but who you are. I'm sorry for what I am many times. Because I know what I'm capable of. And you are too. Paul said this. The greatest Christian that ever lived said this. I know within me, that is within my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Wow. Paul said that? Well, what about this self-esteem program I've been working on? Get over it. Paul said, I know within me, that is within my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. In fact, he said one day that he shall change our vile bodies. My body vile? Man, I was at my class reunion, 50th class reunion last night. I thought I looked pretty cute compared to all those old folks that I was hanging out with. I thought, man, if I'm going to look as old as the rest of that crowd does, I'm in bad shape. My wife said, yeah, that's right. Wow, let me move on. How shall they hear without a preacher? God uses preaching. Every child of God is a preacher in a sense they're supposed to deliver the gospel. You're supposed to witness the gospel. When someone asked one of the Wesley brothers, and I don't know if I wrote this down. I'm not sure it was the Wesleys. I think it was another family I've read about. But who the best preacher in the family was. And there's a group of boys in that family. About five of them were preachers, about like the Gabbards. And they asked one of the boys who the best preacher in the family was. And he said, our mama, our mother is the best preacher in the family. And that's usually how it is. So, men, women, boys, and girls are supposed to be witnesses to the gospel. You're not a preacher in the sense of an office of the church or a preacher or a called, ordained preacher because there's a few things in God's order because of that. And we try to go by God's order, whether we like it or not. We just go by what God says. We let Him be in charge. You may not agree with it, but if God says you do it this way, that's the way we're going to do it. Technically, preaching the gospel is simply telling someone the gospel message. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, how that Christ died according to the Scriptures, died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. And we're to let folks know about that, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. To preach means to proclaim. Hey, I know the Bible says that a woman should remain silent in the church and that she's not to teach or usurp authority over man. That's church order. But nowhere does it say that a woman shouldn't proclaim the gospel. Don't say that. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God sends forth the gospel by preachers. In Matthew 10:7, Paul was sent to preach the gospel. 1 Corinthians 1:21, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, preachers can get pretty foolish. I told somebody at my class reunion last night, they're talking about a lot of people we get here, and I think most of them come just to see what I'm going to say next because I'm so scattered. They want to see what's going to happen next out there. It isn't because I'm... It's all to God's glory. God has made this church what it is, isn't the preacher? It's in spite of the preacher. When people hear the gospel, preachers go forth, they preach the gospel, and when they hear it, some believe it and some don't. The Lord said that His words are spirit and they are truth. My, my, my. They bring conviction that a man is a sinner. They'll convict you. You hear that preaching of the Word of God. Why you think folks run off so many preachers? Because they don't like the preaching of the Word of God. It rubs them wrong because they're in a sin they don't want to get out of, and they want to find somebody a little bit easier on their sinful condition. Brother Jeremiah and I have talked before that every church in this country is just one pastor away from apostasy. Just one pastor away from apostasy and a liberal mess. Thought I'd throw that in. Figured like a good place to throw that in. But those words of God, that preaching of the words of God brings conviction that a man is a sinner. And a man's conscience bears witness to that word of God. And those who take it to heart, who take it to heart and believe it. And once they believe it, they act on it. After someone believes it, then they call on the name of the Lord for salvation. My, my, my. Next problem. And how shall they preach? It says in verse 15, except they be sent. And Matthew 16:15, and He said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. My, my, my. That's why we as a local church, that's why we send out missionaries. We have 17 or 18 missionaries that we support and send out. We have Doug Rogers, who's coming in for this conference Friday and Saturday, then going to preach Sunday. He's a missionary to Mexico. He has a ministry called Indigenous Church Planting. And he raises up preachers out of those nationals in Mexico. He'll go into those little villages, those Indian villages up in the mountains and down those rivers in the backwoods of Mexico. And he'll start schooling those folks and then having a seminaries for those local pastors and get them trained and taught in the Word of God. And then they'll set up their own church there. What a work. And I called him one time. I had a lady who was getting deported to Mexico out of the Ripley County Jail on some drug charges. She's still in Mexico. And she was going, I think, to Carnaveca, something like that. But Doug's in Veracruz. I said, she's going to fly into Veracruz. I said, do you have anybody in Veracruz who could meet her at the airport? He said, we're involved in 42 churches in Veracruz. My, my, my. He's out there working, getting it done. How shall they preach? If a missionary don't get there to proclaim the gospel, then how are they going to believe it? If they don't hear it, how are they going to believe it? Philippians 4:13, Paul said, for even in Thessalonica you sent once and again to my necessity. You've got to support those missionaries if you're going to do what God tells you to do here. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? We Christians are laborers together with God for the gospel. Now, the fellow years ago, John Calvin, who taught that men don't have any responsibility in it, that it's all cut and dry. The Bible don't teach that. So a Calvinist can simply cop out by having everything determined before the foundation of the world, and he'll never witness to anybody. Look out for that. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Hey, that should be a call to action for Christians. That should stir your heart and get you into the fight and into the battle. Your feet is what takes you somewhere. My, my. That's why the feet are part of the armor of God in Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6:14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. The gospel of peace, it's called here. In Mark 16:20, it says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with the signs following. Amen. I think it was Billy Sunday who said this. He said the reason more people don't get saved is that a specific Christian don't take a specific gospel to a specific person at a specific time. You got to do it. You got to go. You got to go and tell. Talked about that this morning. Is your feet shod tonight with the preparation of the gospel? Do you know how to lead someone to Jesus Christ? That means be prepared. That's the Boy Scout motto. I was a Boy Scout. Be prepared. A scout is trustworthy, friendly, helpful, kind, courteous. I forget. How'd that go? Brother Grossman, were you even scouting some of your folk? I forget all those things that a scout is. Trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. How do I remember that? All right. I'm charged with preaching the gospel. So I need to be prepared. Talked about that this morning with that. Well, you're not off duty when you leave the church. I should either have a Bible or gospel tract around me, or have that word of God hid in my heart when I can take someone through the gospel. Bible says if a man don't have a sword, Bible's called the sword of the Spirit. Says if a man don't have a sword, let him sell his coat and get him one. That's what Bible says about gun control. Says if a man don't have a sword, let him sell his coat and get him one. Pretty good argument against gun control. I just thought I'd throw that in. That's just what the Bible said. In another place it says two is enough. Talking about the swords. Two is enough. Well, that nails me here. Nails most of you old rednecks in here. Got a gun behind every corner in the house. And I'm one of them. I'm preaching to the choir here tonight. Corners, I don't know where all my guns are. I know that I got alarms on all of them and 220 wired to all of them. Somebody comes. No, let me move. I forgot this is being live streamed. Huh? Well, I wish I hadn't sold all my guns. All right. The Bible's called the sword of the Spirit. The Bible says if a man don't have a sword, he should sell his coat and get him one. Romans 10:15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. That's what the gospel is. It's good news. It's glad tidings of good things. Something happened. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Not everybody who hears the gospel is going to obey the gospel. Obeying the gospel means to believe the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? And it says in Isaiah 53:1, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Not everybody believes it. And that's always been the problem. Unbelief. That's what sends a man to hell. What don't send a man to hell is being ornery. You can be an ornery Christian and go to heaven. And you can be a fine fella, but that one sin will send you to hell without Christ. Ezekiel 33:13, I said, if a man keep the whole law and look to his, let me see how it goes, look to his righteousnesses, and commit one iniquity. For that one iniquity he shall perish, and all his righteousnesses shall not be remembered. What's that all about? It has to do with God's holiness. God can't abide just one sin. The Bible says if a man keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. One sin makes you a sinner. And we sin because we're sinners. A man isn't a sinner because he sins. He sins because that's a sinner's nature to sin. But God gives the cure. God says, you trust me and I'll give you a new nature, and I will keep you until the day of salvation, the day of redemption. You're saved the moment you trust him. That's always been the problem, unbelief. Acts 28:24, and some believe the things which were spoken, and some believe not, it says. Hebrews 11:31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. She was a harlot, a hooker. She went to heaven. She perished not with them that believed not. Unbelief is what sends you to hell. Hebrews, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Why did they perish? Because they didn't believe. They believed not. What sends a man to hell is unbelief. Who hath believed our report? Obeying the gospel is believing the gospel. You believe that Christ died for your sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day for your, according to the Scriptures, rose for your justification. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Obeying the gospel is not being baptized or keeping the sacraments or getting the gift of tongues or living on the square. John Calvin got the idea of having to be baptized. They baptized many as a baby because they thought it was all cut and dried, that you was going to get saved anyway if that was in God's plan. But the Bible don't teach that. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Notice that the one who is damned is he that believeth not. A general rule is when a man gets saved, he'll usually follow unbeliever's baptism. But it's a picture of what already occurred. It's spiritual. It has nothing to do with water. A little sidebar to that would be that even though Abraham was justified before God when he believed God, he was justified before men whenever he acted on what God told him to do in sacrificing Isaac. Curtis Hudson dealt with this verse. He said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Curtis Hudson said, if you get on a plane that's going to Tampa, it says you get on a plane and take your seat, you will go to Tampa. While in fact, if that plane is going to Tampa, you'll get there just by getting on the plane, whether you take a seat or not. Am I the only one that gets that? All right. That's why Paul said back in Romans 6:17, ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Salvation has nothing to do with keeping sacraments, getting baptized, or keeping the golden rule. It has to do with believing what God said and appropriating it for yourself. 1 John 5:11, and this is the record that God hath given unto us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Obedience to the gospel is believing that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And to do that, you must realize you're a sinner. There's repentance wrapped up in that whole thing about believing He died for your sins. If you don't believe you're a sinner, if you don't have that come to yourself moment, why would you turn to a Savior if you don't think you're a sinner? You'd say, well, I don't need one. You believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried and that He rose again the third day. And you appropriate that for yourself personally. Not only did He die for the whole world, but He died for me too. Thank you, Jesus. Does that include me, Jesus? I shouldn't tell. I'll tell this one little tale. I probably shouldn't tell. I was about to get a fight with a fellow up at a restaurant. I worked in radio school in Columbus, Ohio. Career Academy School of Famous Broadcasters. I was working at a Parker House restaurant down under the thing, and I was doing setups, putting stuff. If it was a steakhouse, and I'd put a piece of bread and a baked potato. I'd slice that baked potato and put a big bunch of butter in. And there's a guy there, a kid that said he was going to whip everybody in there. I was a teenager. I didn't like him saying that. I kind of felt he was including me. I said, hey, I finally went over to him. I'd had enough of it. I said, did you mean to include me in that thing about whipping everybody in here? He looked at me. No, Holt, you too strong. He said, country, he called me. No, country, you too strong. So, but see, with Jesus Christ, when I came to God, I said, Lord, does that include me? That whosoever will, does that kind of... Am I included in that? I'm a whosoever. I said, Lord, I will. And He saved me. And I know He saved me. These things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That you might believe on the name of the Son of God. You're included. He included me. The Bible says you know that we are accepted in the Beloved. I'm done. Everybody stand up. Miss Emily, Brother Jerry. Hey, you've heard the gospel tonight. You've heard what it takes to get saved. Why in the world would you leave this place without trusting Jesus Christ? Hey, it's dealer's choice. But He's still saying, whosoever will, let him come. If you've never trusted Christ, why don't you do it tonight? He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And he that is athirst, let him come. And whosoever will, let him come. Drink the water of life freely. That's that gift of salvation. Paul said, I fear lest any corrupt you from the simplicity that is in Christ. As we sing, Jerry, what page?
355.